Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 244 of the Canadian Football Countdown, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network and the Alternative Football Network. We're back, baby. We're back. It's been a month, roughly, since we last recorded an episode of the podcast. A mix of scheduling issues, illnesses among all of us. The miracle of cow life interrupted an episode for Adam. It's been a month, but we're back and we're excited to be back talking some CFL football here. Ryan alongside Adam and Trey. Let's start with you, Trey. How are you doing tonight?
Fantastic, I guess. As good as I can be. You know, like you said, been sick. Kids been sick. Wife's been sick. Still have to work. No good sports on right now. I mean, baseball started today, but the Jets are pissing me off. And what else is there? Curling? The world curling.
Hey, you were watching a lot of curling.
You know what? That's fine. I didn't watch as much as the women's world as I wanted to. I got to the Brier, but the world women's, I missed out on that. But I think the men starts this weekend, so that'll be good. So yeah, doing okay. And a lot of horse racing. It's picking up. It's good stuff. Adam, nice hat, man. Alouette. Let's go.
Yeah. Definitely got to still be cheering on the old Alouettes. I mean, hockey season's over for me. I mean, senior's done. Didn't go as well as we wanted it to, but I'll talk about that maybe another day. I've been mainly working on the farm, watching cows have little babies, and lots of that kind of thing going on, as well as planning a big event and hoping that we get it for Theodore. So for a little small town, be nice. Hopefully we get that, but I'll talk about that another day as well. What else? I guess the Brier was on to watch some of that. You can't trust the Manitoban to come in and do Saskatchewan's work.
I was high on him, but Gushu's tough, man. But I have to say, I'm sick of those Montana commercials. I want to go to Montana so bad.
Oh, well, there goes that sponsorship opportunity.
Man, it's so bad. I'm sorry, but I'll eat wings. I'll eat ribs every night if Montana's wants to sponsor us. But I'm so sick of seeing Brad Gushu with wings.
Oh, and he's wiping the trophy, man. I want to lick barbecue sauce off of that thing by the end of the tournament, man. I just wanted it so bad.
They should fill the cup now. It was the Brier, so it used to be like where you filled it full of beer. You fill it full of rib sauce, apparently.
I know the women were drinking something out of the World Cup this week, so yeah, sure they had a blast.
You got to eat or drink something out of the trophy. It's tradition. Exactly. Almost any sport where you actually can. All right. Well, it's been a month. Like we said, last episode for me was our big free agent frenzy. So I went into hibernation for a month and a half since then. I know you guys hopped on, did a live show or two along the way. Thank you both for taking that over and giving me a bit of a mental health break in the midst there as well, which was very nice. But happy to be back. If you're looking for an update on all the CFL news that's happened over the past month, this is not the episode where you're going to find that. If you're looking for coverage of the CFL Combine that just took place in Winnipeg, this is not going to be the episode where you're going to find that. There are plenty of other CFL podcasts out there that we recommend you go and check out that have been much more in tune with those events that have gone on. This is just going to be a vibes episode. We're just going to, we're going to chat what we want to chat about with the CFL and get into one of the most debated topics, I think, every offseason. At least it was when we kicked this off last year. And we're going to start our top five countdowns here. And it's top five CFL quarterbacks for 2024 we're talking about here today. So look forward to that. We'll each give our top five lists, and I'm sure there will be some controversial takes that we'll look back on midway and at the end of the season and regret the picks we made there. We are also live on all of our different platforms thanks to our presenting sponsor, Game Time TV. You can learn more at gametimetv.ca or facebook.com/gametimetvmb. If you're joining us in the live feeds, hit the comment section, drop a comment, drop a question, chat with us through here throughout the show. Glad to have you with us. As always, before we get into the main content, we do want to acknowledge that the Canadian Football Countdown is brought to you from Treaty 1 Territory, traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the homeland of the Métis Nation, as well as from Treaty 4 Territory, traditional territory of the Cree, Soto, Dakota, and Métis Nation. Make sure you check out our Discord community as well if you want additional content or opportunities to chat with us in between episodes here and there. The link is in the episode description. It's free to join, we'll be, I'm sure, ramping up a lot more conversation there as we get closer to CFL season as well. That's all I've got off the top of the show here. We're going to get into our top five countdown in a little bit, but I guess one piece of CFL adjacent news maybe we'll talk about that you had of interest, you wanted to bring up, Trey, was the NFL's got a couple of rule changes they announced for this upcoming season. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the one I'm mostly interested in is the kick return, because that has been a hot topic discussion in the CFL as well. So the NFL, let me see here. Yeah, so it's kick. It's going to be the basically what the XFL had, I believe. So it's called the kick returns. Well, let me see here. Ball booted from the 35 line as standard kickoff. For standard kickoff, the ball will be kicked at the 35 with the 10 kick coverage players lined up on the opposing 40 with five on each side of the field. The return team we'll have at least 9 blockers lined up in the setup zone between the 30 and the 35, and at least 7 of those players touching the 35. And then you'll have the 1 or 2 returners back. So, yeah, if we remember, it was the XFL version. It's supposed to get down on injuries. And then any kick that reaches the end zone in the air can be returned, or the receiving team can opt for a touchback in possession at the 30. Any kick that reaches the end zone in the air and goes out of bounds will also result in a touchback at the 30. So the touchback goes from the 25 to the 30 on kickoffs, which is pretty significant in its own. But it says if a ball hits a returner or the ground before the end zone and goes into the end zone, then it's a 20. It starts at the 20. So again, it's trying to get the kicker to not kick it through the end zone. Kind of like we see in the CFL a lot of times when, you know, a guy like Medlock would do those crazy plays where it bounced at the 10 and stopped at the 1, right? So, you know, I thought this was significant because the CFL was kind of discussing scrapping the kickoff. The NFL is trying to bring it back a little bit. What do you guys think, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, the kickoff, obviously the CFL has the most exciting kickoff rules. To me, I think we're all kind of in agreement to that. It's fun to watch. I know they were debating different rules for safety reasons in the CFL, trying to cut down, I think it was, maybe on the number of kickoffs a little bit. I kind of like the suggestions they had, but seems like those kind of cooled off a little bit they're not going to implement those kinds of changes. The NFL rule, I mean, the NFL kickoff for years has been a nothing factor, right? Like, ball goes into the end zone, touchback, okay, move on, for by and large. So is this going to make the kickoff more exciting? I don't know. I think you said this was implemented in the XFL previously.
But it's not going to be in the new UFL, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's correct as well. Hey, XFL Mike G is here in the Facebook chat.
You might know a thing or two about this, yeah.
You might know a thing or two of the kickoff rules here, but I didn't watch enough of it last year to really know, you know, have an opinion on whether it is exciting. But, you know, anything they can do, whether it's for safety or whether it's for entertainment factor in the NFL, I like that. In the CFL, if they want to make safety related changes, I'm all for it. If they want to make game flow related changes, I'm less for that, because I like the CFL rules as they are. Adam?
I don't like this a bit, because you know what? The NFL has been dead for quite a while. Kickoffs, just go to the 35, be done with it, or go to the 30 and be done with it. It seems like all teams just boot it through the end zone. It's what it is for the kickoff return. Like I said, just before the show started here, I think that you could probably do the sponsor for $1 million and get your name published all over the place, because you ain't going to ever give away $1 million in the NFL. The CFL, though, boy, you know, it's always fun watching it to return from the CFL rules. I think I know that there's a chance of an injury or a big hit. It's been there forever, that big hit opportunity, but it never seems like it really happens many times. Maybe once, twice a year, we see somebody get lit up. Most times, it's just a tackle and carry on. But you know what? If they want to try something in the NFL and try to make the kickoff work, it'd be cool to see. But as Mike just said, in the UFL, it's a traditional kick. He figures probably they should have left alone, and I'll agree with it. I think the NFL should have just maybe went and lined up at the 35 and just started off there. Or offered to kick off. If somebody actually did want to try to do a return, go ahead. But I think you'd find that most teams just say, let's line up at the 30 or 35 or whatever it is and get started with the offense.
So are the leagues, like, when we're talking NFL and UFL, are they swapping rule sets then basically here?
Yeah, UFL is going back to traditional. And yeah.
Yeah, that seems weird to take your niche and then give it up, especially NFL adopts it.
The USFL had traditional.
Right, and now they've merged together.
So it's kind of that way. The XFL, I think the XFL did it in partnership with the NFL, this kickoff thing from the beginning. I didn't mind it. I didn't watch it a ton, but I watched it a little bit, and I felt there was more – It had more space than the NFL kickoff, like a normal NFL kickoff, and more return and more of that. It felt a lot closer to a CFL style kickoff on a smaller field where the guys are so close, you can still try to get that edge a little bit on the smaller field. So I don't mind it in that sense. And I'm almost interested if the CFL field being wider, would it even maybe get more exciting? Like I said, if it opens up and the guys are only 10 yards away from you, kick returner is a lot faster than some of those special those guys on the other side, like a Janarian Grant, Elford, all them. I wonder if it'd almost be more exciting in a sense than what we have now. And I kind of disagree. I feel like there seems to always be an injury timeout after a kickoff, more than other plays. Maybe we don't notice it. Adam's probably in the beer line, so he probably don't notice it as much. But I just feel like there's always somebody getting carted off, and maybe you don't notice again because it's a TV timeout too, right? They don't usually say it. It's usually the third string linebacker and he walks off the field, and then some guy you never heard of. And if you never hear from him again, it's not the end. Like it's not, the fans don't notice it. So that's kind of where I'm at, but I don't know. It's just an interesting rule. I could talk about the hip tackle one. I don't even know what that is. So we could just maybe move on to our top five.
Actually, I did want to bring up one more thing here, because Brandon in the chat mentioned it here. The Saskatchewan Roughriders signing another quarterback recently here. Jack Coney's a 6'3", 220-pound defender from the North. This was from the Fighting Irish, I believe. He actually played for in his senior year. Sounds like a good quarterback. I don't know much about him, to be honest with you. Mike over from XFL. Mike, you probably have heard of him. He played for the San Antonio Brahmas last year. So he was assigned by the Colts after draft last season. Doesn't seem like much on that side that I can really tell you. He did have a good season though, it looks like, with the Fighting Irish, and also he's former Brahma, as I said. But could be a future quarterback in Saskatchewan. Again, I know there's lots of talk over there about the quarterback situation in Saskatchewan. Mason Fine. People aren't still not fine with it. And again, the other behind him is Shea Patterson. He also
USFL legend.
USFL legend. So Saskatchewan's still short in quarterbacks. He sounds like the right size and the right prototypical quarterback for being in the NFL, to be honest with you. Usually 6'3", 200 or so is the NFL kind of size. They like him a little taller, I guess, maybe, but not much. I'm a good signing if he turns out something. I'm predicting he'll be a practice roster player, but we'll see in training camp what comes out of it.
Well, see, I didn't want to get into that yet because I didn't want you to spoil your top five list. I wasn't sure if he was going to make the list for this upcoming year. So
this is by that much.
Like it. Number six. Yeah.
Number yeah. six. Exactly.
Yeah. By the way, UFL opening weekend. League kicks off this weekend. Doubleheader Saturday, doubleheader Sunday for UFL coverage. Make sure you check out all the other great shows from around the Alternative Football Network.
You guys don't get televised in Canada? Just out of curiosity?
I think maybe TSN 3, 4, 5, maybe somewhere there.
Well, I thought XFL was on it, but I don't remember if the USFL was on TSN, so I was just curious.
Yeah, in the States, Saturday games are on Fox, Sunday games are on ESPN, according to the schedule. But yeah, not sure about Canada. Check your local TV guide, I guess. Is that still a thing people do? I guess you just pull up your cable guide.
I don't have
cable. Is there still such a thing as the old manual books? Like,
yeah, those were the best.
I don't think so.
Those are the best.
Anytime I go to a hotel with my kids, just that station, right? Every hotel TV has that station that shows it. My kid is amazed by that. Like, what? what is that? And then they're amazed by TV that you actually have to watch, and you can't just pick something else on Netflix.
Oh,
man, it's wild. You'll get there, Ryan. You'll get
the times. What times we live in. All right, let's get into talking about top five quarterbacks. We can't move ahead and start talking about this year's top five without taking a quick look back and reminiscing about last year's. So let me pull it up. These were our top five lists last year. Last year, the criteria coming in, there was none. We each kind of used our own criteria. We've locked that down a little bit more coming into this year. But last year coming in, I had Caleros as my number one, Jake Mayer is number two, Vernon Adams is three, Taylor Cornelius is four, that is painful to say, and Cody Fajardo at number five. Yeah, some missteps for me last year on my top five. I was high on Mayer after what he had done previously, and with him taking over full-time as the starter over Boa in Calgary, but just didn't work out there. And well, Taylor Cornelius, we know what happened there. He lost his job to Trey Ford, and now is Taylor Cornelius signed anywhere right now? I don't think so. No, he's not. So probably not going to make the list this year. Looking for a better showing, I guess, from my top five predictions this year. Trey, you know what? Let's go to Adam first, and we'll come back to Trey. Adam, who do you have to do in this your to top me? Five?
I'll bring it up anyways. Zach Collaros, number one, was last year. Trevor Harris, number two. Taylor Cornelius, number three. Jeremiah Mazzoli, number four. And Cody Fajardo, number five. Hey, at least I could say that I had the Grey Cup winning quarterback on my list for some defense on this. The rest of it was pretty bad, to be honest with you. Trevor Harris didn't make the season. Taylor Cornelius didn't make the season. Jeremiah Mazzoli didn't make the season. But hey, Zach Collaros was there. So I guess I could say I had the top two quarterbacks that made the Grey Cup last year, at least. Mind you, so did Ryan. We'll just ignore all the rest between two and four.
To be fair, Trevor Harris was having a good season until he did get injured last year. And I do take solace in the fact that while I put Taylor Cornelius on my list, you ranked him higher than I did. So
I didn't even know he was on that. You make a lot of fun of Ryan for that, man.
Yeah. Well, I think the main reason is he was my first round pick in fantasy draft as well.
But then I picked Jake Mayer right behind you. So
yeah, so Adam and I, not a great year. Mike last year made his picks as well. He had Zach Collaros at number one, Trevor Harris at two, Jake Mayer at three, Bo Levi Mitchell at number four, and Vernon Adams at number five. He did not send us in picks for this year. Spoiler alert there. So
but again, he did get 1 in 5 right, like we did. We all did. We all got 1 in 5 right.
Well, there we go. There we go. Trey, your list last year. You want to talk about who you had on there?
Oh, it's just simple, guys. I piss excellence, you know. It is what it is, guys. Chad Kelly, you know. And you know, this is on the field, just full disclosure, on the field top five. Like, I will pick OJ when it comes to on-field stuff. Off-field, Anyway, Chad Kelly, number one. Old man Caleros, number two. Trevor Harris, three. Older man Bo Levi, four. I think Bo is actually younger than Caleros, but he looks older. And Vernon Adams, or he plays like he's older. And Vernon Adams Jr. Just Bo is my one regret. But other than that, I think I did okay.
Yeah, and the Chad Kelly is number one pick. The reasoning behind it, a little interesting.
It's simple. I knew he was going to be the best on the field.
Yeah. Review the footage. Check out episode 202 for full explanations if you want to know. That is definitely a pick Trey was celebrating all season long, and maybe not as much now. I don't know. If we talk about the off-field stuff. But like you said, no, this is strictly on-field play we're talking about as we get into our picks for this year's top five. We all kind of had different criteria last year. I used mine of who I thought was going to be the best coming out at the by the end of the year. I think you guys maybe used who was best right now. We're gonna walk it down to this is basically we're making our predictions for this year. So as we're going through our top five list, this is who do you think are going to be the top five quarterbacks in 2024? What you consider a top quarterback is that leads the league in passing yards, leads the league in touchdowns, wins. I mean, that's entirely up to you of what you think is a top quarterback in the CFL. But that is kind of the criteria there. If you want an example, if I'm talking about top quarterbacks right now, I would not put Drew Brown in that mix just because we have not seen him play a whole ton. But seeing him potentially have a starter opportunity in Ottawa, would he make my top five list? Well, you're about to find out. But that's kind of the difference, an example I have there. So that is our criteria. Let us know your top five picks in the chat if you're joining us live as well. I see a lot of folks joining us over on X also. If you hop in the YouTube feed, which is linked on the X County, you can hop in the live chat there. And let's get into our top five quarterbacks here. We'll start at number five and work our way up. Who wants to kick us off and give their number five?
I'll go first here. Give me one second. You snuck up on me here. I am going to go with, from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, if he stays healthy, Trevor Harris. I think that, like we've mentioned already, he had a good start to the year before. Like, I think the season would have been completely different for Saskatchewan if he stayed healthy. I think they would have definitely been more of a competitive. He is 37, actually will be 38 at the end of May, according to Wikipedia. So he is a little old. Like I said, I was calling Caleros and Bo old, and I don't think neither of them are 38. So, I think it's Trevor Harris. Ryan, or whoever, Adam, who wants to go next?
Yeah, I can go next. With my number five pick, can I throw an honorable mention? My honorable mention would have been Trevor Harris. I'm getting nervous with a guy with an Achilles injury or an injury like what he had. Just scares me a little bit. So I'm going to give him an honorable mention. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the big asterisk beside it is if he stays healthy. But my number five pick also has an asterisk beside it. It's going to be the Toronto Argonauts, Chad Kelly. And the reason being is I don't think he's going to play this season. I'm thinking he's probably going to be looking for a new job soon. And if he is, pretty hard to be a top five quarterback in the league when he ain't playing. So that's my theory. But if he does play, he's going to be a good quarterback, and I don't want to look too silly. So I'll put him at number five.
All right. For my number five, I've got a guy who is re-entering the league after taking a step down south for a little bit there, and that is McLeod Bethel Thompson of the Edmonton Elks. I'm high on Bethel Thompson. I think probably higher on him than a lot of people are. I really liked what he did in Toronto. You know, he had been around the league for quite some time and had his ups and downs, so I think people don't consider him in the upper echelon. I think he can be. I think he's got some great weapons available to him. Eugene Lewis, Dylan Mitchell, they traded for Curley Gittens Jr. and he gets reunited with them there. So I think it could be a good season. The only thing that has me not putting MBT higher up on the list is I am admittedly a little bit reserved on the Elks after I was all in on them last season. And then things look good to me the way they set things up in the off season last year. And then they underwhelmed me at the start of the season and really all season long there. So also interested to see what Trey Ford's involvement in that offense looks like as well. I'll bring Bethel Thompson back in as a modest top five quarterback here in the CFL. Let's go. So that not the same person starting every time. Adam, let's go to you for number four.
Yeah, my number four pick is the guy that you were just currently mentioning there, McLeod Bethel Thompson. I think he's got the pieces around him. Kevin Brown is still a pretty good running back if they can get some help. I'm still terrified of that offensive line. And Richard in the chat did bring up a good point. I think he's going to be running for his life quite a bit in this offense. That being said, if they can get some offensive line help, they do have the receivers there now. Gurley Gittens Jr. is there. I think he'll be okay. And I see that they still have Eugene Lewis. They still have Dylan Mitchell. Everybody knows had an offseason last year. There's no questioning that one. I think he'll recover a bit. I don't think that was the same player we seen 2 years ago. So I think that McCall Bethel Thompson will be my number four pick from the Edmonton Elks.
All right,
I'm going to go ahead with number four.
Yeah, so we both got Bethel Thompson there on our list. Richard in the chat makes a good point that MBT doesn't run. I don't know if Edmonton's done enough with the offensive line this year also to solidify that, which is maybe a bit of a concern there. But we'll see how he slots into that offense. Yeah, we'll go to me for number four here. And I'm going to go, you and I are swapping lists so far, Adam, because I've got Chad Kelly with the asterisk here at number four for myself as well. I didn't go quite as far as you where I'm in building this list. I'm not considering any player who might miss the majority of the season. Like I'm not accounting for, oh, this guy's going to have a season ending injury or something like that. Or this guy's not going to play in the league this year. I think even if Chad Kelly plays, I'm willing to slot him in here at number four. For me. And I think part of it is that distraction piece. Even if he's still allowed to play, like this is going to be looming however long this investigation goes on. And I don't know, you know, given his history of distractions, how well he's going to be able to play in that situation. I thought he had a fantastic season last year, but also you look at the talent they surround him with, like there's no superstars necessarily in that wide receiver core. And that's a testament to it as well. But also at the same time, you know, do we see a bit of a regression back from the 16-2 team that was lighting it up 35 points a game last year? I think there is a bit of potential for that. So I've got Chad Kelly in at number four with that asterisk of the distractions going on there. Trey?
I have the Zach Claros, number four. I think that the O-line might have just taken enough of a hit that he might not have the same time. Oliveira has, what, a two-year deal, so he's not exactly playing for a contract. You never know. He might take a step back. The same thing with the O-line. Defense got a little older, so maybe they're not going to be able to stop defenses or offenses as much. So I think Zach Claros and the Bombers will still likely be a playoff team, and he'll be up in the conversation. And if some of the other guys get hurt or don't play, yeah, Claros could easily swipe it and get another MOP. But right now I have four.
All right, that puts Claros in at number four. I'll kick us off at number three here. I thought about being a little more bold and putting him higher up on my list even than I did. But I still feel comfortable about putting him here. Give me Cody Fajardo at number three on my list. I was down on Fajardo for a lot of last season, admittedly. I was pretty vocal going into the Grey Cup that Montreal's team is backed by its defense and its offense will just do enough to get it done. And then Fajardo came out and played his hands down best offensive game of the season in the Grey Cup last year. And what changed was he forced the ball downfield, which we hadn't seen a ton of. He was the most accurate passer in the CFL last season, I believe, 70-something completion percentage. But it was a lot of safe passes. And seeing what he was able to do in the Grey Cup, also another year, maybe year one in Montreal, was just, you know, ease into it, get a comfort level for him and Maz. I'm expecting bigger things from them this year. I think their receivers are going to grow also. A lot of his receivers, it was their first year in the league last year. I'm really high on like Tyson Philpott, you know, Tyler Snead, those types of guys that the Alouettes have in their offense, and the addition of Tevin Jones. So I think Fajardo is going to have a strong year this year. I'm not quite, I'm going to play it a little safe with my list and put him in at number three. I almost put him up to number two, but I think he's a top three quarterback this season. I am Cody Fajardo. Let's go back to you, Trey.
Give me VA Jr., Vernon Adams Jr. in BC. I think BC's got enough talent in receivers and that they should do well. I'm still not sold on their run game. We were just talking about, is Butler there? No. Who's BC's guy?
No, Butler's in Hamilton. Oh, sorry. He was in BC before Hamilton. It's Taquan Mizell and William Stanback.
Yeah, I'm not completely sold on that. It could, you know, they could run each for 1,000 yards, or they could run for 200 each. You know, I could see it going either way. So, but I think Vernon Adams will have a good year. He, other than what, that 1-5 interception game or whatever he had, I think he had a pretty dang good season. Could have easily made it. Not too bad for a guy who, you know, had his time in Montreal. Adam?
Well, my pick goes back over to the land to the east of me, and that will be to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I'm going to take Zach Collaros at number three. I think Collaros is going to have a downer year. Finally, Trey's going to get his year where he could say, I knew it, Collaros was a fraud. He was the guy who was, that's what he was all along. You know what? Their offensive line is not the same as it was last year. I don't think that Brady Oliveira is still the best blocking back in the world. I know he can run. Blocking, I'd be a little more concerned about. Not saying Zach Collaros still. He has a lot of weapons on his team. His receiving core is still deadly. But I just don't like his offensive line this year. Maybe I'll be eating my words on this one here. But for now, yeah, Collaros will go at number three.
Yeah, you mentioned the blocking. They did lose Rashid Bailey in free agency, who was big in that regard as well. Good point on that one. Do we all have our top three? And I think we do. Let's go back to you, Trey, for number two.
Oh, number two. I'm not, yeah, you know what? No asterisks, Chad Kelly. You know, I think on the field, I think he showed it enough. And yeah, you know, we could say the team around him, but we gave Zach Collaros a lot of credit, and he has had a pretty good team around him. You know, so I think Chad Kelly's still the guy. Yeah, Ouellette's gone, but I think they did enough. They could do enough without him and to get things done. And with the whole like distraction with his track record, I don't think anything can bother him, man. You know, he could have a list of indictments as long as Donald Trump, and he'll still play football pretty well, as well as Donald Trump golfs, right? So I think we're fine. I just saw Trump golfing the other day, and I was like, why do we care? So that's why it was in my mind. I'd smash my phone if I saw Trudeau golfing, so I don't want to see Trump golfing, right? So it's okay.
Golfing, you politicians. Golfing.
Yeah.
Leave it for the hockey players.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Leave it for the Leafs.
And the Buffaloes, apparently. Hey. Anyways. My number two pick this year, am I wearing a Montreal hat because I'm picking Fajardo at number one? Nope. I'm picking him at number two. Ryan gave the reasons before me all the time. It seems like this is working out nicely. He's got receivers that he's comfortable with. He's got an offensive line he's comfortable with. He's got his running backs that he knows right now very well that are still with him. He's still, and for the first time, I think, ever in his career, well, maybe second time, Jason Moss is still working with him. He's got the same coaching staff for once in his life that he gets them again for the second year. Everything's going well for Fajardo right now. For a guy that was nearly ready to retire, it's amazing his story. And, yeah, it's I don't know how it goes. Just watch.
Nice way to keep it family friendly. I like that. All right. Cody Fajardo at number two for you. For me, to round out the number two on the list, I've got Zach Collaros there for me. So I've got him highest, I guess, out of all three of us. I had him at two, Adam at three, Trey at four. Caleros has the best set of tools available to him out of any quarterback in the league, I think. I mean, the wide receiver core, yes, they lost Rashid Bailey, but I think they're still stacked. We're talking about a full season of Kenny Lawler. He was gone for half the season due to his suspension last year. You've still got Dalton Schoen. They managed to bring him back. They've got Nick Dembski in there. Drew Olatarski. He's got the tools that he's going to throw to and going to be successful in that regard. He's got Brady Oliveira, where more than pretty much any other team in the league, you need to game plan for the run game. And the Bombers are going to use that effectively there. The offensive line is a little bit of a concern for me and is actually the main reason I don't have him at number one on my list. Because I do agree he is going to get older. You know, it's going to be harder to escape. He doesn't have Jamarcus Hardrick there in front of him blocking anymore. And that is a bit of a concern for me for Zach Caleros. But I still think he's going to be top of his game. And he'll probably be in MOP conversation as he seems to be every single year. Which brings us to our top quarterbacks in the CFL for 2024. I don't want to steal yours again, Adam. So I have, I'll let you go first because I have a feeling we might be going a similar direction here.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling we're going the same place and in the same direction. I'm heading to the West Coast. I think that probably right now Vernon Adams Jr. looks like the number one quarterback in the league. He can run. He can pass. He's made good plays. Bad Vernon has gone away and has been exiled to the streets of Kelowna. He ain't coming back to Vancouver. It's all good ways right now for Vernon Adams Jr. He's got a great receiving core with him. He's got a great offensive coordinator. His running backs and stand back. And sorry, I can't remember the second name. Trey had the other one.
Mizell.
Yeah, Mizell. I think they're good. It's a good 1-2 punch there. I really am high on BC. It's a great cup year for him. They're hosting it. I think he's going to bringing his A game this year. And yeah, as much as it pains me to say in the West, I think everything's going to be going through BC. Vernon Adams Jr. gets number one on my list.
I'll go next year then and just piggyback off of that. I have VA as number one on my list as well. He's going to get the most opportunities to throw out of anyone in the league, I feel like, because they are a pass-heavy offense. And I don't think the addition of William Stanback changes that at this point in his career. I think Stanback is a change of pace, you know, rotate him in with Mizell. But this team's going to be throwing the ball, and they're going to let VA do what he does best, which is throw the ball. I'm concerned about the depth, perhaps, at wide receiver, knowing that Keon Hatcher is out until late in the season, where really Alexander Hall, you're looking at Alexander Hollins and Justin McInnes and Javon Katoy are kind of your big three. But then I remembered, you know, we weren't really talking about Keon Hatcher a year or two ago. We weren't talking about Alexander Hollins a year or two ago. And now we're talking about them as some of the top 10 receivers in the CFL. So this team seems to find a way to bring them along. Their offensive system is really good and sets their quarterbacks up for success. So I think despite that, you know, I think they're going to find some gems. They bring them into camp and make them successful. And I think VA is going to be the top quarterback in the CFL again this season. I believe he led the league in passing yards last year, so we'll see him do it again, most likely. Trey, who's number one on your list? Trey Stadamus. You had the number one in Chad Kelly last year. Who is it this time around?
Well, you made things really awkward by saying Drew Brown couldn't be to the criteria. So you threw me a curveball there. Because I had Drew Brown 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to go with Cody Fajardo of the Montreal Alouettes. I know the criteria is who's going to be the top one this year, but damn, he played a good game in November, you know, and that's the thing that sticks in my mind. So if he can play like that, 13, 14 weeks games of this season, I think Montreal will be looking pretty good come playoff time and stuff. So give me Cody Fajardo. I don't think they didn't add too much, but I don't think they lost too much either. They kind of had a traditional what Blue Bombers have kind of done over the last few years offseason, kept the main core. Sure, another year in that system, another year, you know, Moss and Fajardo know each other, right? So I think they'll do fine.
Yeah, and that's the big thing too, right? Like that they're going to grow. Like this was a young offense last year, and the defense, they kept everybody together, so it's probably going to, you know, give the offense a lot of time to be out on the field. I like the pick. All got Fajardo in our top five. Let me pull up the full lists here, and we'll take a look at maybe some of and discuss some of the names that we left off here as well. So our top five quarterbacks in the CFL, just to recap, I have Vernon Adams Jr., Zach Collaros, Cody Fajardo, Chad Kelly, McLeod Bethel Thompson. Trey has Fajardo, Kelly, VA, Zach Collaros, Trevor Harris. Adam has Vernon Adams Jr., Cody Fajardo, Zach Collaros, McLeod Bethel Thompson, and Chad Kelly. So I think we all, for the most part, agree on who's in the top five. Just different variations of where we see them in there. Let's talk about some of the names that were different here. Trey, you were the only one who did not have McLeod Bethel Thompson in his top five. Any thoughts on MBT from you?
No, he'd definitely be my honorable mention. He'll be one of those guys that he'll be in, like, he will be top five. When we're talking about this next year, right? I'll be kicking myself for not putting him in somewhere. And one of these five guys on my list will get hurt, and MBT will be up there too. I think for me, age is one, and you kind of mentioned it too. No, I'm not sold on Edmonton as a team. So, you know, I can see them winning four games. So it's kind of hard to have a top five quarterback if that team doesn't really win much, right? I guess he could throw for 7,000 yards in all those losing games. But, yeah, it would be MBT. And no, I didn't actually ever consider Drew Brown. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll get into that one in a second here as well. And then I guess I differed from you guys. I did not have Trevor Harris on my list. So I guess you didn't have him on your list this year either, Adam. Any thoughts from you on Trevor Harris in green and white?
You know, it's very tough to come back from an injury that he had, and he's 38 years old. I know that they say he trains like Tom Brady. He's a magic man in recovering on anything, and he can really pretty much do what he has to do. But you got to remember that Trevor Harris is a passing, stay-in-the-pocket kind of quarterback. He doesn't like to move out of the pocket, or he does just enough to make sure that he can make the play. Can he still move out of the pocket just enough to make a play? Or is this old? Again, they claim he's 100%. He's ready to go, and he's hot and ready to start the season. But I'm still nervous about it. Until I see him throw the ball comfortably, stay in the pocket, do what he does normally, I'm a little more cautious about it. And there's so many other good options in quarterback in the top six or seven quarterbacks in this league that I just kind of figure that, you know, he's got to be in the honorable mention kind of section instead of on my top five.
Right. Yes. Sorry, I forgot you had him in the honorable mention at the very beginning. I also didn't have him top five. I was impressed by the season he had last year. He was higher up than I thought he would be. But the injury scares me. I also just, you know, have not been high on Trevor Harris of consistently getting it done. He's an up and down quarterback. And I think all these other names on the list I see can be consistently better than he is, but hoping for a bounce back from him because I don't like injuries kind of ruining guy's career. And he has been a very solid quarterback as well. I guess we'll talk about some of the names none of us had on our list here as well because we got some time. You mentioned Drew Brown, backup quarterback in Winnipeg last year. Now he goes over to Ottawa. I know there's competition in camp. But it seems like he's going to be the starter there. What are your expectations realistically for Drew Brown this year, Trey?
Oh God. I think Ottawa will be better, and I think that's the goal, right, for them. I think he's definitely in the mix, but I think they also have enough of a competitive room where if Mazzoli is still there, just hurt, right? With Mazzoli and a couple other guys they have a competitive room. So like maybe the leash isn't long on him, and he knows that to some degree, yeah, because they have all this other potential talent there. But I think, I don't know, do we think that, I don't think they're going to do it, but within the franchise, I guess they're hoping playoffs, right? That's kind of their expectation, and Drew Brown has showed it, but was that because he had the Blue Bomber offense around him. So it's kind of hard to see. We're gonna see who he is, right? Was it the Bombers or it's the Tom Brady Belichick, right? Who needed who? And we'll see that this year. Adam?
I'll tell you right now, the East is pretty much wide open, except for, I think, the number one spot, which I think will be the Alouettes, just because they kept most of their players. Toronto's in controversy right now. Hamilton, it's Bo Levi Mitchell. I'm sorry, FM fan, that he's going to get after me about this. But seriously, it's Bo Levi Mitchell. Ottawa has a good chance of making the playoffs this year. Drew Brown, I think, is going to get the nod by the sounds of it. I think he's going to be all right in Ottawa. They have been looking for a quarterback, though, since Henry Burris. And if Drew Brown ends up being the guy and he starts throwing real well and does his thing, but you're right, Trey. I don't see the leash being very long on Drew Brown. I think they're going to look at Jeremiah Mazzoli if he's healthy. If Brown starts fluttering a little bit at the beginning, I think they're also probably going to even take a look at Crum again. There's a few others that are on the list that could jump right back in and have an opportunity in Ottawa if Drew Brown falters a little bit. The leash is very short in Ottawa. It should be, because they're expecting a quarterback that can give them a victory. And they've got a team around it that has no reason, that a defense that's very stout and a offense that's reasonably been rebuilt and has a good young running back to show for it. So I think that this is the year that Ottawa really needs that quarterback to step out. And we'll see. Maybe it'll be Drew Brown. Like I said, I'm hoping for the best for him, because he gave up a pretty good deal in Winnipeg, being a backup there. So
I kind of see it as similar to, I think, what Trey was saying about McLeod Bethel-Thompson. I see a scenario where we're looking at this later in the year, and I wish I put Drew Brown on my list, but I'm just not confident enough at this point in time. Does he have the tools to succeed, or is it another case of a backup quarterback going elsewhere and it was turned out to be the system, like you said? So I think he is a good quarterback. I think he's got some solid receivers in his core to throw to there. You know, they added Dominic Rimes, was a big addition there for them, alongside Braylon Addison, Jalen Acklin, Justin Hardy and the crew. So I like the tools he has there. Just historically speaking, the backup quarterbacks seem to more often than not not pan out quite as hyped up as we expected them to. Other quarterbacks around the league we did not have on our list. Adam, you and I both had Jake Mayer on the list last year. He doesn't make the list this year. No surprise there, right? Jake Mayer is not on the list this time around.
Well, exactly. I think that you're probably going to see a very, very interesting training camp in Calgary. And I'll be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if Matthew Schultz starts the season. Just because I think he's got the experience. I think he's, honestly, right now, I think he's the better quarterback, unless the, I guess we'll see how training camp goes. But, yeah, honestly, I could see him being 1A, 1B in Calgary this year. Jake Mayer didn't impress last year, and it shows when they bring in Schultz.
Yeah, I'm much the same way. They've got the receivers, especially with Malik Henry back healthy. If he can stay healthy this year. But it was too many short passes that just weren't getting it done. It was Matt Nichols to the max for Jake Mayer last year, it seemed. So I have him pretty close to the bottom right now as well. And I could see a scenario where Schultz takes over also. Any thoughts on Jake Mayer from you, Trey?
Just trash. I don't even want to put him in top 10, so it's okay. Oof. I don't know. I'm not hyped on him. I don't know. There seems to be a lot. There was a lot. I don't know. Between him and Cornelius last year, it seemed there was a lot of hype on them. I remember that episode where my jaw dropped when I found out how much those two are getting paid. And now one doesn't have a team and the other one could be benched for Matt Schultz. You know what I mean? Like, so they're exactly who I thought they were. I think, yeah, I am not. Yeah. So I'm not big high on Mayer at all. I could see Schultz being the guy. I put him above him. Probably at this point.
And then everyone's favorite, Bo Levi Mitchell, did not make any of our lists this year. And I don't think that's a surprise. I mean, Bo has been going downhill in his career. He struggled to stay healthy. I hope to see every year. I hope to see a healthy bounce back season from Bo. But I'm more intrigued to see when does Taylor Powell take over for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I think he's their QB of the future, potentially, out there in Hamilton, than Bo Levi Mitchell. Any new thoughts on Bo beyond from either of you, beyond what we've talked about many times?
Yeah, no, we've said it before. This is the last, absolute last kick at the can for Hamilton. I mean, it getting into having a chance at a Grey Cup. If you can't do it this year, you got to rebuild the whole thing. Taylor Powell is a big piece of it. I think he'll be probably the quarterback of the future still for Hamilton. Bo Levi, I don't know. You're right. I hope he has a great season. I just don't see from where.
Yeah, maybe the only guy I'll put below Mayer is Bo Levi on my list. So I'm surprised they went back with him. I thought the writing was on the wall that he was going to be on TSN this year, and I'm surprised he's back in pads. And you know, he if he is the top five quarterback at the end of this year, I'm quitting the podcast. Like there's I can't see it. I think Hamilton. I don't know. Again, he's another guy where I who's your backup right now? Is it Powell? No, Powell.
Yeah, it's Powell. Yeah,
he didn't play too bad last year for, you know, with the team they have and stuff like that. So I think I'd rather develop the young guy. But that's the thing about football is they don't always develop the young guy properly. Not everyone's going to be Jordan Love, who can sit behind Rodgers for 5 years and then magically be good. Some guys, you do need to play them. Some guys need to be in the system for it to work. And I think they're going to waste their time with putting Bo in.
Well, if you're saying you're going to quit the podcast if he finishes top five, I look forward to podcasting for many years to come together, Trey.
If he hits, I'll tell you what, if he hits MOP, I'll be probably eating my Montreal hat here this week. Yeah.
Doing that live on the show, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, perfect, perfect. I want Bo to succeed. I want him to have a strong finish to his career, because this is sad for me to watch after how well he played for so many years. Like, he is a legendary quarterback who's just unfortunately time and injuries have taken its toll on him. So I'm in the same boat. He's probably lowest on my list for quarterbacks for this year for expectations. I'll be mystified if he makes it into the top five performances. But kudos to him if he can find a way to do it. And I'm sure we'll hear plenty about it from him if he does. So,
yep.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be on our podcast anytime soon.
No, probably not. Bo, if you're interested, happy to chat. Injuries always happen at quarterback. Every year, like we're talking about all of these guys now, half of these guys might be out on long-term injuries at one point or another. Heaven forbid, like we don't want it to happen, obviously, and we're not wishing injuries, but let's face it, it's going to happen that the starters go down. So
to be honest, though, when was the last time a quarterback actually finished on top of his career?
Ooh.
Other than Henry Burris. I think Henry Burris finished on a Grey Cup, didn't he?
Yeah, CFL, I can't really think of many. Ricky Ray, did he win one late with Toronto when he moved there?
He did, but then didn't he have the injury that ended his career?
Oh, okay, right.
Saskatchewan got injured. Same with Calvillo, came into Saskatchewan, got injured. We have a tendency of doing that to old quarterbacks. Same with Darren Durant, he came back into Saskatchewan, never played another one.
I mean, you could argue Darian Durant went out at the top of his career because he got a free $70,000.
Oh, yeah, that's what, yeah. But, I mean, honestly, Mike Riley, maybe?
Yeah. He wasn't winning, but he was not doing bad, yeah.
Mike Riley was probably the best in his career at that point.
He faded a little it eventually became him just forcing the ball downfield and trying to force the play, but yeah, I would say that is a good recent example. Probably the best one would be Michael Riley. I like that one. Now, assuming the starters get injured, we're going to see some of these backups again. We saw some of them heavily last year. We're talking Dustin Crum out in Ottawa. Jake Dolagala is now the backup out in BC. Taylor Powell in Hamilton. Trey Ford in Edmonton. Matt Schultz You know, we've talked a little bit about him in Calgary. Which of these backups that we've kind of run through here are you guys most excited to see if they're given the opportunity to play? Adam?
I would probably say Jake Dolagala just to see what he would look like in a different offense. I think if you put him with a bunch of great receivers and you have some offensive line for him, he could be a really, really good quarterback. So I'd be kind of excited to see him play. Other than that, I mean, in Saskatchewan, there ain't nobody I'm excited to see play yet. I mean, again, I know there's been chat in the talk or talk in the chat tonight about a player that just finished up in the XFL. Show me him in a CFL uniform for a year or two, then I'll see if I'm excited. I'm sorry, but there's not really anybody else. Taylor Powell, I guess, would be the other exciting one that I would think maybe would be a little bit exciting. And, Cameron Dukes might be getting a pretty good opportunity in Toronto as well. So we'll have to kind of keep an eye on that one, especially if, Chad Kelly has to leave for some time.
Hey, after his performance in his one start in Winnipeg in that game last year, I want to see more from what Cameron Dukes can do. Trey, what about you? Who are you most excited to watch among the backups if they get a chance to start?
Well, 6'1 from Eastern Michigan, Eric Berry, or however you say it, the third string, fourth string on Blue Bombers, because I hope to God if Claros goes down, they don't put Chris Treveller in. Leave him on the short yardage. Leave him as that. Give one of these young guys, this guy's 26, the other guy, Terry Wilson's 26, give one of those two guys a shot. We know what Streveler is. I don't think his, 3.5 years of being on Madden is going to make him any better at this point. He had 2.5 good preseason games and maybe a game and a half on Arizona where he almost led them to the playoffs. But Tim Tebow had a better run than him, right? So I think I don't want to see Streveler in there if Caleros goes down. I want one of those two young guys. Or it'll be interesting to see what happens in Toronto if because a lot of people there seem to be high on Dukes and almost think he's better potentially than Kelly even on a good day. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets some playing time.
I swear to gosh, they got to throw in Streveler for every 80-yard bomb they got to make. Come on. Go for it.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see Streveler, but I agree with you, Trey, that I don't know if I'd want him as the starting passer necessarily for a long stretch of the season. For me, the most intriguing is Trey Ford. Of what does the development of Trey Ford look like this year? Because he was the next big exciting thing in the second half of last season that was going to put people in seats in Edmonton. And now he takes on that backup role. Great mentor in MBT to learn from. But if he gets a chance to play, you know, does he step back in exactly like he did last season and play at that kind of level? Or what is that mindset like now that he's been relegated, kind of bit back to that backup role here? Is he playing for a future job in Edmonton? Is he playing for a future job somewhere else? Those are some intriguing storylines with Trey Ford. And Dustin Crum to me is also interesting. I think he's a better passer than people give him credit for. I think part of his problem last year was he was running for his life the whole year because the offensive line couldn't keep him upright. I know they had a couple of signings there on the O-line this year as well, so I'm expecting that to be better. And I think Crum delivered some of the most exciting moments of the year last year with the Crum backs. So I hope we get more of that excitement in the future and his potential doesn't kind of just die here in a crowded quarterback room there in Ottawa. That's the quarterbacks. Anything else on any of the quarterbacks you guys want to talk about? I think we've pretty much gone through almost all of them here.
Yeah, the only one I really didn't talk about was Montreal Alouette's backup. I think it's Caleb Evans at the moment. I don't know. I think that Brian Fajardo, even if he's injured, does his usual thing and just plays, so Caleb Evans has a nice seat in the bench, looks at the view. So,
I mean, Caleb Evans can do, like, he's a guy that can step in and deliver a solid football game. He might only throw the ball 6 times, but he'll run a lot. But he can lead the team for at least a short period of time. He's shown the capability before. And maybe we'll see a quarterback or two drafted in the CFL draft this year that make their way into camps and get a chance to show some excitement in the preseason and stuff. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Are we going to wrap it up at an hour here? We've gone through our top five quarterbacks. Let us know in the comments or on social media or in the Discord community what your top five was. Feel free to roast us for ours. I don't think anybody has anything too extreme on our lists this year. I feel like they're safer, but we'll see.
Ryan's become a dad. He's now vanilla.
Yeah. Vanilla ice cream is very good.
Apparently. It's a hip thing in Winnipeg.
Sorry, guys. I'm on a March Madness parlay right now. That's more important. Sorry. Alabama was down like 7. They're tied, so I'm a little sweaty. I'm sorry, guys.
How is the bracket going there, Trey?
Yeah. Tell us.
Oh, my bracket. Oh, my God. I think... 3 of my final 4 are left, unless as of today, but some of these games are not looking promising. I have UConn winning it? Yeah, I have UConn winning it over Marquette, and all those teams are alive. So I don't know. I'm doing okay. Crazy. Who was it? There was one game that Yale. Who had Yale winning? Like, I didn't even know they had basketball team. There's another one that really screwed Oakland. Oakland,
Oakland.
Michigan or something. Like,
no,
I think
it's Kentucky.
Was it Kentucky? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, and that's who I had in my bracket for the winner.
No, but
first round, there goes Oakland taking them out.
No, I know Oakland played Kentucky, but where are they from?
Oakland?
No, it's Oakland, California. Oakland. No, it's a different one. It's a different one. It's Michigan. Yeah, they are from Michigan. Okay. There it is. Yeah, so that was one. What else screwed me up here? I didn't have Oregon winning. Who's the hell Oregon? But yeah, right now the only Clemson and Arizona today. I didn't have either of them, but I had Clemson winning in my parlay, which is why I'm. Let's go, guys.
Yeah,
I had my baseball parlay today blew up because of the Giants blowing a lead to the Padres, but every other game has been right. So.
I had Kentucky in my bracket. That's all you need to know. It was all downhill from there. Michigan takes them out.
I knew they weren't good. I thought they would get the first round because I had them losing in the. No, I actually had them. I had them going 2 rounds. I had them losing in the 3rd round to Marquette, but ends that. So I mean,
I thought the Jaybirds were always good.
Yeah, not lately. Not this year. I think they got a new coach, so the whole system has been a little different and stuff. But the Blue Jays, the Creighton Blue Jays are the team I think everyone's got to watch out for. They got a big game against Tennessee tomorrow. But, and then our Blue Jays, Adam, today. Yeah,
they look pretty good today, actually.
Oh, yeah, big win?
Three or four
home runs?
Yeah, something like that. Like Buck Martinez said, you got to win the first one to win the 182. So.
160, yeah, they're 162-0 is what they're projected for right now.
So. You betcha. Perfect season comes
for the Blue Jays. Yeah, Berrios looked good on the mound. He gave up 1 home run. You can't be. It was a good pitch. Pretty good team. They have a lot of injuries in their bullpen right now, and I'm a little worried about Romero's out, Gosman's out, someone else was out too. Garcia, maybe. Or they had a couple guys out on their bullpen, which is scary, but it's baseball.
And it sounds like Saturday or Sunday, I think they may meet Marcus Stroman on the mound.
I did hear that, because he was supposed to be is he on the Chicago still or is he on Mets?
He's on the Mets.
Mets, yeah, because he was supposed to be, they were going to make him the ace, but it would mess with his rotation that he was going on, so they pushed him back, so. I wanted them to sign Stroman, the Jays. I wanted the reunion. Out of any former Jay, I take him probably first.
Yeah,
that's still active. Obviously, I think Edwin could still hit the ball in Bautista. So,
I know this isn't the football or baseball countdown, but Shohei Ohtani. I mean,
he did it.
What do we want to talk about?
He did it. It was all him. The story has changed too many times. Don't give me the translator.
I've heard bits and pieces of the story, but I don't know what's fully going on here.
So apparently the translator spent much of Ohtani's money on making baseball bets.
Multiple sport bets, but baseball is the big one. Yep.
Amazing.
And the story had changed several times too. So like apparently Ohtani said he never knew about it until the big thing came out, but his lawyers said they knew something was happening like 3 days earlier. So it's like, how does his lawyers know? And then there's the argument, whose friend has access to your bank account? You know what I mean?
That's like, weird, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then the translator has initially said it was for Ohtani too, or there's people around it saying that it's for Ohtani, and no one knows about Ohtani. No one knew he was engaged. He gets married, what, a day before spring training. Now he's involved in this, and it's just wild. I was thinking, I actually thought about it. If it's him with the gambling problem, is that why he deferred the money? Because he knew he was going to gamble it all away?
I have seen that take.
Okay, yeah, like, yeah. So I was just...
Who's Ohtani's defense lawyer, Pete Rose? I mean, he's done a terrible job at this.
Because I saw it too. This is sparking a lot like that. Oh, was it apparently college sports are thinking about getting rid of prop bets? Because it's leading to students getting harassed on campus so if you don't make the 16 and a half, someone in your class will send you a death threat. It's kind of a growing thing apparently in the States. So
yikes.
And it's wrong, but it's one thing when you're a pro, right? Like, you know, but when you're a 20-year-old kid, it's a lot different.
Yeah.
The 35-year-old's been dealing with it, so I saw that. But yeah, betting, I think if it turns out Ohtani had anything to do with this, I wouldn't be surprised if the government gets a little bit more involved in the betting, because it's went a little bit like wildfire, especially in both sides of the border here.
But also MLB has a tendency of really throwing the gauntlet when it comes to sports betting.
So I'm not arguing with that, but I'm just, my concern is why would, I don't know if yet. Like, again, NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, they might not do it unless they're forced to. It's going to kind of be the same thing what TikTok and Facebook are going through. Why are they going to change anything? They're making millions or billions. Government's coming in on them to try to regulate them, and I think that's what the federal government's going to have to do with betting because, yeah, you can't have people in it doing it. You can't. And you can't have a translator doing it. Honestly, Ohtani's hairdresser shouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean? She can see if he's limping a lot easier than you and I can. You know, so. And it's.
But yeah, that's a good point.
It's a tough line. Does that mean. So, like, look at horse racing. I know some stuff. Does that mean my wife shouldn't bet? Like, maybe. Some people don't talk about it. I don't know. Should you guys not bet on horse racing now? Because you guys. Shoot. Like, no, I know, but where it's hard to find where the line is. And think about college too. Maybe the guys have roommates that don't play on the sports team. So should they be like, are they allowed to gamble?
I would think you probably want to do direct, right? If it's like, let's say I'm Ohtani's bunkmate and I see Ohtani woke up with a cold that day and I go and bet against Ohtani. Well, that's something. But if I'm, Ohtani's second cousin and find out that he was sick. I mean, where do you draw the line? You're right, Trey. It's weird.
It's wild. And like, I was just thinking something. And then like, again, for the longest time, I don't know if I had a problem with if you bet on yourself to win. Cause I don't have a problem with that. Cause that's what the rule is in horse racing. You can bet on yourself to win. But maybe because there's no prop bets, like you're honestly betting to win. There's no, you're betting, you know. But then I've seen the argument too, because that's what Pete Rose always said. He only bet on himself. But the argument is, well, why didn't you bet on yourself on Tuesday? Because you knew something, right? And that's the thing. You didn't bet on yourself every day. And so I've seen people in horse racing do that. I've had owners tell me, don't bet on the horse today. You know what I mean? And you just, it's tough.
But then interesting.
The owner told me that, and she won. The horse won, so I gave him an earful after. But I did bet on her. But so, it's crazy. I think he did. If he had more knowledge about it, maybe it wasn't him. But Do you guys see that bridge?
Oh.
Oh, that's wild.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, I don't want to go on. What's the one in Winnipeg? I hate it. Kind of, it goes on to Regent.
I don't have to worry about bridges in Saskatchewan too much, you know.
Yeah, I think it's just a train under it. But one of the first times I was driving up it. Oh, what bridge is it? Not the Disraeli. But anyway, it was icy, and I didn't think it was such a steep incline. I didn't think my car was going to go up it. And it's just so wild. And then these bridges over water, like that. I was on that one that goes to, is it Windsor, Detroit or something? Someone down in Ontario has a big one. And I was on that, and you're stuck in traffic, like moving a car at a time. You're not getting out of there. Like most people are able to on this Baltimore one. So that's wild.
Yeah, that was terrifying to watch that video in Baltimore. Scary to watch. And
yeah. That's about it.
Condolences to all the families who potentially have been confirmed to have lost someone.
So, gentlemen, what's wrong with your Winnipeg Jets now?
Everything, always.
Oh, man. I haven't officially jumped on the bandwagon yet. I said I was debating it, but I never did. And so I knew this was coming.
It's that time of year.
Oh, I'm not jumping on it now. The way they're going, who they're going to face, like Colorado first round? Yeah, no. You'll get us an. I'll say they win a game, but it'll be 4-1. And then Shifley will cross check someone again.
Now we're 2 points behind the Dallas Stars right now in the Central.
While we're going through all the different sports and random topics here at the end of the show, because we are still live, this is like after hours stuff. You get a little treat here, folks. Any big NFL free agency thoughts?
Steelers country, let's ride.
Yeah, what the heck? How did the Pittsburgh Steelers go from, what was it, Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett last year to Russell Wilson and Justin Fields this year?
The world's a crazy place, man. You know what? That's a great quarterbacking tandem. I would love to have that on Cleveland's team instead of, you know, just Deshaun. But, you know, no, Pittsburgh did well, I think. I think Kenny Pickett probably shot himself square in the foot. But, yeah, Wilson for 1 year, minimum deal practically. I'd be okay with that. And... I'm pretty okay also with the number there for Justin Fields. I mean, if nothing else, you gave, what, a sixth-round pick for Justin Fields?
That's wild that he got traded for a sixth-round pick.
I honestly would have – I would have traded the first-rounder and kept
him. Yeah.
That's where I was heading. That's what I thought they were doing.
There had to have been so many other teams would have offered more than a sixth.
Clearly, that's why I would have given up the first round pick, because someone's going to give you players for that and maybe next year's first and another year's first or something for a guy like Caleb Williams. But to get a six round pick could be, I mean, that could, the chances of that being the next Tom Brady or whatever, right? So
I think the main reason they went that direction that I was reading, I might be misremembering, is that it wasn't Justin Fields like scheduled to get like a $50 million contract next year or something like that. And based on how he's been playing, like, are you going to commit to that? Or are you going to reset the clock and go back to starting fresh with Caleb Williams? Caleb Williams.
I'm not sold on him. I mean, he had that great year in his sophomore year, but then he was nowhere last year, which just, I don't like, I get why they do that, but I hate that kind of mentality. Right. And I liked what Fields started to produce last year. And I think I would start him over Wilson. I know Wilson's the one getting paid a little bit more, but
I'm sucks to be whoever owns Justin Fields in dynasty leagues for fantasy. Oh. He was a top fantasy quarterback at times, and now he's a backup.
But what I'm looking at is Kenny Pickett. All he needed to do was just wait 1 year until Russell Wilson was done, and he probably was a starter in Pittsburgh. Now he's buried.
He was the starter last year, though, and he didn't get it done.
Yes and no. I know he was a little bit rough last year, but... you look what they had for an offensive line or offensive coach. That Canada was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, but now they have Arthur Smith, who's arguably almost even worse.
Fair enough. Okay, yeah, fair. I was trying to hope you didn't argue that one.
Yeah, nobody's running the ball there. Or they'll run the ball with the wrong option.
And then wasn't it Saquon to Philly?
Yeah, that
was a big that's one. A big one. I think Philly and holy, I think I almost could you imagine Jason Kelce blocking for him? Like, too bad he retired, man. That would be wild. Or then having Saquon on the tush push. Ooh. Oh man, he's a beast.
All the running backs kind of played musical chairs in the NFL. I mean, yeah. Derrick Henry off to Baltimore, Joe Mixon off to the Texans, I think. Yeah. Zach Moss off to Cincinnati. Eckler, where did Eckler go off to? The Commanders, I think. That's a big one.
Green Bay's running back goes over to Minnesota.
Josh Jacobs over to Green Bay. Like, everything that I wished our 8-hour free agent frenzy was on for the CFL.
Yeah.
I wish we could have had something like what the NFL had this year. I haven't been like super big into NFL for many years, but so I don't know how common an offseason like this is, but this seemed pretty wild with all the players changing places.
Are any of you really surprised that Bill Belichick hasn't signed anywhere?
No. I think he wants full control like he had in New England, and no one's going to give it to him. I think the only one that would have was maybe Dallas, but I think he would say he would, and then he wouldn't. And I think Belichick
Jerry Jones will never give him anything like that.
What I thought I saw was reported that Jones had offered it to Belichick, but he said no to Dallas. But I could be wrong on that.
Right, and because then, he knows that he ain't going to get it from Jerry. Jerry wants.
I'm not too surprised. No, like I said, because he's going to want GM, every coach, everything like he's had in New England, and no one's going to give it to him. And
Kirk Cousins off to Atlanta too.
Like that one. I think Atlanta was my team. I have so many. I had a couple players on fantasy with them between Bijan and the other guy.
Is Justin Jefferson a free agent next year?
Yeah.
But supposedly he's about to sign a massive contract with Minnesota.
Really?
Okay, because last I heard he wasn't, but maybe something must have changed.
Everyone wants to play with Sam Darnold.
I think Minnesota screwed up. I think it's not Cousins' fault as much as people want it to be, but in watching, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team, but I think they'll be pretty good in Atlanta. Their offense is pretty good. Now you got
that's big money for Kirk Cousins. I mean, he liked that.
Cousins. And Arthur Smith is gone, so Bijan Robinson will actually get used the way he's supposed to be used.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Dallas picked up absolutely nothing.
I don't get it, man. I can't stand the Cowboys and the Leafs. I can't stand them. It's just.
I was like, they need that guy from Willy Wonka to go and say, right to Jerry Jones, you lose, you get nothing, good day.
And that's not true. The Cowboys signed a linebacker and a cornerback. And re-signed their long snapper and their backup running back. So.
His long snapper? Yeah, well, they got rid of our Pollard went where? Jacksonville? Where'd Tony Pollard go?
They lost him? Oh, God.
The Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee, that's what it was.
Who also signed Calvin Ridley.
Because they have no respect for running back because now they lost Zeke and Pollard within, 2 years? Like, that's why. Like, I get the musical chairs, but you got to try to keep one of those two.
I have read Zeke potentially considering making a return to Dallas, so that would be fun to watch.
Was he on New England before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Side note, Nathan Rourke at least re-signed.
Yeah. He did re-sign with the New England Patriots, yes. They also signed Jacoby Brissett, though, as a veteran quarterback. So, I don't know. I don't think Nathan Rourke's going to get a huge opportunity there. Do we think the Patriots are going to draft a quarterback also? They're probably going to draft a quarterback, right?
I can see him drafting. Quarterback.
Yeah, after one Lance, whoever has the second pick said they're picking a quarterback. And if Chicago obviously takes a quarterback, I think there was four or five decent ones.
Yeah, there was one guy that wanted to trade into getting a quarterback. Yeah. I can't remember who, but
But I also wonder, too, New England, I mean, there's obviously other capable football people, but this will be first year. It's not Belichick, too, right? So I wonder if it takes a year. You know what I mean? Like maybe the guy jump, whoever's in there now will jump in and roll with it, but might be different. And Robert Kraft looking there with no Brady and no Belichick. Things are going to be weird in New England.
Bill Belichick just goes and heads to Alabama and runs the.
Honestly, I thought he would go there to go back because he was there. He was there before, right? So, yeah. And I think he doesn't want to deal with college kids now with the NIL, like because he's an old school college, like you know what I mean, coach too. Where if it was someone was doing backroom deals, but it wasn't him. He just was there to coach, right? So and now with this NIL in Alabama. 12-team playoff, too, is going to be crazy next year. Oh, Alabama. Speaking of Alabama, they're down 3. Oh, you missed that easy lay. Oh, they're going to get a foul. Let's go to the line. That kid needs to save the muzzy, though. That is gross.
Do we wrap it up here, boys? I hope folks enjoyed the after hours. Like I said, this was a vibes episode, and this may have been the most vibes episode of the podcast thus far. I enjoyed that. That was fun.
I didn't even bring up farming.
Well, you still have time as we get ready to wrap things up here. We'll be back, hopefully. I'm not going to promise and say we'll be back next week because things have been chaotic for all of us lately. But in the near future, we will be back with another edition of the countdown. I think let's talk running backs next week. Quarterback top 5 is kind of a little more tame than I thought it would be. We all pretty much agreed. But I think we're going to have some big variation in the top 5. Adam's redemption arc this year after his list last year. We'll revisit that next time around. In the meantime, follow us on social media. We're on X at CF Countdown Pod, facebook.com/CF Countdown Pod as well. Check out all the other great shows from around the Canadian Football Podcast Network at CF Pod Network on Twitter and the Alternative Football Network at the official AFN on Twitter and alternativefootballnetwork.com. You can find me on X at CooperTrooper42. I really don't tweet much, but I'm there. You can find Mike there as well at Mike Garrell. He couldn't be here today. I know he's been wrapping up a lot of his hockey season stuff, so maybe we'll see some more Mike in the near future. I won't promise that either. Adam, farming stuff.
Yeah, you can find that at AdamStewart1. Most times I'm mostly on Instagram, though, Farmer in Sask. Make sure you check me out over there. Cute cab photos right now. If anybody's looking for any cute little cab photos for your kids, you know, that's a good place to look. You can count calves while you go to sleep.
Oh, you said calves. I thought you said cats. I was going straight to Farmer in Sask on Instagram.
Yeah, no. I'm not the cat herder like in that one famous Super Bowl ad. Although that'd be hilarious.
Oh, my mother-in-law has 6. Nice.
We have about 8 barn cats laying around. They're all happy.
These are lazy house cats, man. Oh my god.
Barn cats are too. Handful enough. So
these barn cats literally go crawl out of their house, lay on the grass in front of their house, and sleep all afternoon.
Sounds like a day at the Trey house, boys. Yeah.
Trey just pulling out of the house and laying on the grass. Okay.
No, I don't even make it outside of the house, man. I just lay it right in front of my door.
Fair enough.
And cold.
Anyways, you can follow me at AdamStewart1. I'll probably be posting about anything and everything. So, yeah, check it out. Except for probably about senior hockey because I'm done with that for a little while. Anyways, Trey, what about you?
Oh, you could find me at the old X at Trey Harness Link. Just a lot of horse racing stuff. I'll have some UFC stuff today or tomorrow. And yeah, hopefully we'll get some football stuff to talk about. And Blue Jays, big win there. So talk to me there. Any of you guys want electric data service?
No, I don't think I do.
Okay, just throwing that out there.
Not sure what that particular comment is about, but feel free to elaborate. And you have very limited time because we are about to wrap up the show. Yeah, so that is where you can find us on social media. You can also find us in the Discord community. Check out the link in the episode description. Join us over there. We'll have a lot more there in the coming months. We're only, what, like 2 months away, a month and a half away now from the start of football season, or a training camp, at least in preseason. So very exciting and a lot more activity to come related to that. So check out the Discord community as well. Whatever podcast platform you're listening on, we appreciate if you do all the fun things such as like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, share the show with your friends, help us grow the show. We always appreciate that. We appreciate you sticking with us also with the lack of content over the last month. We hope to get back to a more regular schedule going forward. This was a lot of fun to get back to doing this tonight with y'all. The Herding Cats commercial, Adam. Was this the commercial you were talking about with the cats? That is what Ken is talking about.
In the that's what he meant. Yeah, that's there right. That was a great commercial.
I'm glad we got the clarification on that.
Because I'm just thinking, like, that's weird. That's not spam. What are we talking about here? But thanks, Ken.
This is why I love doing the live shows, guys. This is great.
There also was the commercial with the guy that thought he was getting 1,000 longhorns and ended up with 1,000 long dogs.
Oh.
That was a great ranching commercial as well.
If they do one more Gronk kick, I'm not watching the Super Bowl. I'll take Taylor Swift kicking it over Gronk next year. Like, oh my God. How do you miss
it? Taylor Swift was playing a drinking game with herself?
I mean,
anytime she seen herself on the big screen, she took a drink.
I'd do that. I see every time I don't see myself on the Jumbotron, I take a drink.
Well, both strategy, Cotton. Let's see how this plays off
for you. You do that enough times, you might find yourself on the Jumbotron.
That's a dream of mine. I made one time at a Moose game, and I wasn't even paying attention. So, yeah.
How did Mr. Manitoba not make it during the Grey Cup when you guys were there?
I don't know. I was very upset. I was trying to talk to Farhan. I was making friends with the EMTs, everybody, man. And no camera guy wanted to come my way.
Well, they're lost, Trey. They're lost. Yeah. All right. Support the show. Do things that do that. On behalf of Adam and Trey, I'm Ryan saying thank you for listening. Take care. Have a good one.